Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and my guest again today is Kim Fuller, the president of the board of directors. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me again.
This is a catch-up from our last visit, and so there's been one big thing that's happened since the last visit. There's a discrepancy. And so why don't you tell everybody what we know about this?
Okay, there was a financial discrepancy in the accounting, in the books. It was discovered by a staff person who reported it to the controller and another person in the office. Three staff people looked at this. And then that was reported to the treasurer. And then reported to me, and then it was, and this was all happening within 24 hours, and then it was reported to DRM, the management company. The management company quickly looked at the discrepancy, and the employee in question was immediately terminated. All access to the facility, they were blocked out. All access to the computer files, the people were removed. And now we are going through an audit to investigate the extent of the discrepancy. DRM is a subsidiary company of Associa. Associa moved in within 3 days and brought in a certified fraud examiner in order to go through the books. That person's been here now over a week. That person will be here at least till the end of this week. And then we'll give a preliminary report on what they found out. Mm-hmm. Associa has made it clear that the HOA will be made financially whole. Whatever discrepancies they find, the HOA will be reimbursed. The audit at this point is paid for by Associa. So no financial impact at that point. The board is reviewing costs and benefits of a third-party audit. An independent audit. We'll determine that after this audit's done, review the books, review the working papers to make that decision. But in the meantime, all the companies have been put on legal notice. The management companies, Associa, all the insurance companies have been put on legal notice as far as filing any claims. Preliminary investigations at this point is the discrepancy is less than $100,000. I just can't talk about the parties involved, the employees that were involved.
Okay.
I can't talk about how they did it because partly we don't want them to know what we know. But at some point, everybody will know. At some point, I'll hold a meeting and I will show everybody how it was done. I will tell you, I personally believe after seeing how it was done, there isn't a homeowner here that wouldn't have been fooled. This was done very well. So I'll show how it was done. I will tell you who's involved as soon as I'm given the legal go-ahead. Associa has also made it clear they will be filing with the proper authorities in order to prosecute. They're taking this real serious. For Associa, this is a reputation for them. They can't afford to have one, employees think they can get away with it, and two is they don't want HOAs to think they're not going to take care of their HOAs that hire them. So at this point, I am very happy with the action they're taking. That doesn't mean the board isn't going to look at third-party alternatives in order to investigate it fully. But that's pretty much where we're at the moment.
Okay. I know that there was a board meeting on Monday that was one of the best-attended board meetings in a long time. This podcast goes out to a lot of people who are not here in the summertime. And so could you said you stayed around afterwards to hear what was on people's mind. And could you summarize what you heard there to kind of get the word out to all the people who are not here?
Yeah, there was a lot of people who showed up. I truthfully had to assume it wasn't because of my charming personality. So I have to assume that the number one thing
whenever
here
is... Whenever there's money involved.
Follow the money. It's the same old thing. Follow the money. The discussion afterwards, centered primarily around the concept that should Associa, the owner of the management company, be doing the audit at the moment. My contention is it's a no-cost audit to the association. They're going to provide us with the report and all the working papers, and the more information I get, the better. If I can get lots of information, it's going to be much easier for us to make a decision. Lots of concern is all of the money going to be accounted for. First of all, let me explain. No staff person has access to the replacement fund. That's where the $10, $11 million sits. No staff person has access or has had access. That's already been cleared. No staff person has access to the operational fund. So that's been cleared. So we're looking at other things that, you know, on day-to-day transactions where somebody goes to Home Depot and comes back with parts and how that interacts and what kind of play that might have. So I understand the concern about Associa doing their own audit, but we should also expect that if a company's going to make us whole, if they're going to write us a check, we should expect that they're going to want to investigate the damages. They are simply going to write us a check on our word. They're not going to do that. So it's a cooperative effort to make sure we're made whole. But at the same point, I don't believe there's a fraud examiner in the world who can write a guarantee saying they found every dime. And that's because fraud is fraud, and they're trying to hide it. So there'll be a point where we look at the whole picture and say, given the circumstances and how it was done, do we feel we have a pretty good handle on the whole picture? And that will come.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we can still bring in a third-party auditor. We can examine those books. But caution here. We have to be patient.
Yeah.
Many times, a third-party auditor can cost thousands of dollars more than the money you recover. So we want to make a prudent business decision. We don't want to waste the HOA's money. And at the same point, we'll be checking with insurance because possibly the insurance pays for it, in which case then much easier to move forward in that direction. Mm-hmm. We won't have that all that information put together for, I estimate, 3 to 4 weeks. So
well, that's pretty quick. I thought you were going to say
the information,
3 or 4 months.
Yeah. No, 3 to 4 weeks. I think the auditor's report will be ready in 4 to 6 weeks. But then we also need information from our own legal team and from insurance companies, what are our options? Mm-hmm. So once we know our options, then we can move forward. But most of the discussions centered around how can we be sure we're going to be made financially whole if Associa is doing the audit? Well, that's just the first step. That's just the first step. And then we examine that and look at that. And then we'll make a determination.
Yeah. Well, I know from having interviewed other people on the committee that we've got some very sophisticated financial people on our various committees here at Shadow Hills. And I'm sure they will be all over these audits, too, and be able to...
And what we did, too, the board brought in 3 of the people from the Finance Advisory Committee, with one with auditing background, CPA auditing background, second one, the chairman, Bill Wethy, who is CFO, and retired CFO, and then a third, the tax attorney. And so they are part of the executive session of the board, sworn to confidentiality, in order to review the report and to review all the working papers in order to help advise on the direction we go.
Yeah.
So the board isn't relying upon just itself because this is a specialty type situation. So we'll have more by the next board meeting. But as we go along, I'm going to try very hard to post information on the website. It's in the residents only section under a link called Financial Discrepancies. So as we get information that I can release, I will release that information and people can see what's going on. Anybody has a question, feel free to email me, call me. I don't mind. I'll talk about it.
Yeah, but in summary, I mean, while not a small amount of money, it is not crippling us in the overall scheme of things, and we're on top of it. You're on top of it.
Yes.
Being investigated, and we're going to recover the money.
This isn't millions of dollars.
Yeah.
This is, but thousands of dollars is a lot of money. No, we don't want to lose it. I feel very confident Associa is going to stand by their statement and write us a check. Mm-hmm. So we just have to come to an agreement on what that amount is.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to some of the other things that have happened since our last visit. We had a slurry seal project go on. Why don't you, summarize that?
The slurry seal project is done in phase three. Many of the concerns from the homeowners about the type of work, how it was done, we went through item by item to determine which item fell within the contract that we could ask them to redo and or repair, which items weren't within the contract, which items were in the contract. That's been done. Now, what we have done is, we found out, is the material takes 90 days to cure. So we stopped the driveway cleaning process because if it takes 90 days to cure, they would have to come back in 3 months and re-clean driveways. So for those of you that have driveways that need to be cleaned, simply contact me or the HOA. We're keeping a list. And in October, we're going to go back through, inspect everybody, those homes, in order to clean their driveways. The HOA has withheld money from the contractor in order to pay for that in case they choose not to clean our driveways. Then the other items are simply warranty items. If we think that a crack repair wasn't done correctly, they would come back at that time. The tracking that people talk about is improving, as the contractor said, namely with time, as the product cures, car tires act like little rollers that compact the material and will even it out. Sun City Boulevard, for instance, is very little tracking. The majority of the problem now is occurring on cul-de-sacs, because people make turns, mm-hmm. and or people going in and out of driveways when they turn their tires without moving. That will dig into the material. Slowly but surely, that should go away. So until October comes, I can't tell you the final answer on what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but the project's done, and it appears that the tracking is improving as we're going along. So come October, we'll clean driveways and hopefully be through with that process.
Okay.
In the meantime, the board, for the future, the board has already requested proposals from three different civil engineer companies that deal with asphalt slurry products. We will then look at hiring a civil engineer in order to do the plans and specifications for the next slurry job, which will be happening next year. From those specifications, then, the bids will come according to those specs. So the contracts will be different, the specifications will be different. We won't be signing contracts that a contractor did. We'll be signing a contract that our attorneys devised. Hopefully that will eliminate some of the issues that was a point of contention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So another thing is the status of the Santa Rosa pool and pool deck.
The pool deck is, what happened there is, there's an epoxy coating over the concrete. Epoxy coatings as a product usually lasts about 8 to 10 years. This product started to fail in about 5 to 6 years. And that can be for a variety of reasons. We did hire a consultant to look at it. That consultant, who specializes in this epoxy coating, that consultant came back with a report describing all the elements of what was an issue. The HOA did hire a company to make some repairs back here in 2015, 16. That repair failed. And so that's why then the deck failed again, which everybody says, what's going on? You did the deck and now it's failed. The contractor that did the repair came back under warranty at no charge to the HOA and made some temporary repairs to the deck so it's usable this summer. Mm-hmm. We still have to come back in November and tear off all that decking and put a new epoxy coating down. We weren't able to put down a new coating in the summer. It's too hot. The epoxy coating application cannot have that kind of temperature. So it's already out to bid on three different contractors according to the plans and specs by the consultant. And so come November, there'll be a shutdown in order to do that deck. So, unfortunately, we got to shut it down in order to do it. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be in the neighborhood of, my guess, 6 to 8 weeks in order to complete the entire task. If we're a little sooner, great, but I don't want to disappoint you. And then the entire deck will be done. In which time that new coating should last? 8 years? Mm-hmm. In the desert, they don't last quite as long, but 8 to 10 years. Yeah. One of the contributing factors to that deck failing, which speeds up the failure, is saltwater pools. Namely, you have salt in the water to make chlorine. The saltwater pool has since been eliminated. So that part of the failure should eliminate any issues as far as longevity. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get back to a deck that will last between 7 and 10 years.
Yeah. Well, good. As I live in phase three and I use that pool, and I can say the deck looks a lot better than it did before, and it's very usable.
It's usable. It's not perfect as far as looks, but yeah, temporarily but it works.
It looks fine now, and yeah. It'll be getting better.
Yeah.
Okay, there's also been a fair amount of tree trimming done around here.
Trees, there was an analysis done about quite a bit of the trees, but you'll see especially, I think they're called polyberries trees,
yeah.
These big orange things. They require a lot of maintenance. So Landscape Committee looked at this and said, if we take these trees out, we save X amount of money per year on maintenance. And it went to board. The board approved. So a lot of these trees were removed. It was still felt. It looked great with the palm trees and the planting.
Looks better with the palm trees.
And a lot of people think it looks better. I'm not a very good person at design, so I succumb to your judgment. But there's no question a maintenance issue that's improved. And in the process, too, now they're going through and trimming all the trees around the golf course. What is changed is the tree trimming on the golf course used to be every 3 years. That has now been changed to every year. The process was delayed while they took out the trees, and there were some trees taken out on the golf course also because there was too many. There'd be a tree in a clump of 4 or 5. You don't need that many. And now they're going through the trim, for which most people I've heard really like it. I live on the golf course, but they haven't got to my house yet, so I can't tell.
Same here.
So, but it's coming. It's going to be. It's coming. So in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, it'll be completely done, and we'll save some maintenance. And the allergy people are happy. And if you like that yellow tree, I'm sorry, it's gone.
But there are plenty. There are still plenty of them.
There's still
around.
Plenty. Yeah.
You won't miss them.
Yeah.
There was also an issue with realtors and realtor access to the properties.
Simple, that solution has been resolved for the moment. The simple answer was we were implementing incorrect access procedures. That has been corrected. So realtors are back to having access the way it was before. Now there'll be a committee put together to determine if they want changes that can work not only for the HOA but for the realtors themselves. But at the moment, the meeting they called for me, their immediate concerns was resolved.
Okay, and for people who aren't at all familiar with this, the issue had to do with people getting access to the homes for sale. Is that correct?
Well, it was actually a little more complicated in the sense some realtors couldn't even get in the facility. Well, we want realtors to get in the facility.
Absolutely.
Because we want them to be able to sell our homes.
Yes.
So there was an issue about how they would access the facility, and they weren't getting in unless the homeowner called, put them on a guest list. And so there was confusion upon the implementation of certain rules, and it got corrected. I listened, went back, checked it all out. We recorrected. So now a real estate person may enter the facility with their real estate license or the driver's license to show somebody around on an open house. So to my understanding, that resolved most of the immediate concerns. There are still concerns on perhaps how to enhance the process. That will be determined later. There's a committee going to be formed in order to determine that. One is, on one side, we want security because homeowners want the security on one side. On the other side, we also want realtors to sell our home. So we want to make sure they can get in here to do that.
Right.
So.
Okay, and we're moving along on the governing docs. Why don't you go through that one more time in case people didn't hear the podcast the first time.
Okay, governing docs. We're going through some changes on the CCNRs and bylaws, primarily which I think 70% of the changes have to deal with removing Pulte out of the system and putting in the HOA. Pulte's gone, so now we're trying to clean up those documents. Then there are some other changes that that committee felt would be beneficial to the HOA. I'm going to classify them as potentially three different level of changes. One change I would classify as non-material. You take out Pulte's name, you put in Shadow Hills. I can't imagine a single homeowner being opposed to that change. That would be what I would classify as a non-material change. Then there would be a change, the possibility of putting forward a change in order to clarify existing language based upon how we are interpreting the language, but making it clear so everybody understands it more clearly. So that would be, I would say, is not really a material change. It's not a change of what we're doing, but we're just trying to explain more clearly exactly what it means and how we're implementing it. So it wouldn't mean a change of implementation at all. If people didn't vote for that change, it'd be fine. There would be no change in the implementation of the particular bylaw. Then there is a change of what I would classify material, which is different from what we're doing today. An example of that is we have two different voting systems for the board. One year, we have standard voting, one person, one vote. And in the other year, we have cumulative voting, so that you could technically place all three votes to one candidate. The committee has felt that they would like to eliminate cumulative voting and just have standard voting every year. That would be a material change. That's different from what we're doing. So then it becomes up to the homeowners to decide. Do you want cumulative voting? Do you want standard voting?
Okay.
Whatever they come up with is what we do. Now, whatever happens here, we need everybody to vote.
Yeah, that's the important message.
This is a lot of work goes into this. A lot of money technically will go into this because we need to clean up and make correct and bring up to date the bylaws and the CCNRs. If everybody doesn't vote, it's a dead issue. We can't even go forward because we don't have quorums. So we need everybody to vote. No matter how you want to vote, we need you all to vote. So even if you tell your neighbor, hey, when you get it, however you vote, turn it in. Turn that in order to make sure that this couple of years of work doesn't go to total waste. If we don't get a quorum, we basically have to come back next year, spend more money until this thing passes,
yeah,
until we ultimately get the result.
Yeah. So to all the listeners, very much in your financial interest, get this done the first time.
First time. Vote. Whatever you vote, it's good to get in there and at least vote. I'm hoping, I would like to think that all the non-material issues, everybody will vote for. I can't imagine anybody not wanting Pulte out of our documents. Vote for him, and then we can move on at least with that portion.
Okay. And I guess my final question is that you've been the president of the board now for about 6 months. Are you still having fun?
You know, actually, I am. This job has been made easier because of some very talented helpers. The Finance Advisory Committee has just made my I don't have to study that. I get great explanations right away. The Treasurer Kerry Thompson and that Chairman Bill Wethy, these are miracle workers for me. So that's made my job much, much easier. And other than that, the fun part of this job is actually just meeting the people. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a complaint, it's okay. I'm listening. Can't always give you what you want. That's not possible.
Yeah.
But I enjoy listening, and if we can resolve it, we're going to try. So there is some probably a little more work given the fact that the two top staff people, Ozzy Lopez no longer works here, who was facilities manager. Cesar LaRocque no longer works here, who was the GM, and we have a change. So that slows some processes down because we got new learning curves.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, everybody has been most gracious, and I appreciate that. So
Okay. Give
me a call, smile, and we'll have a talk.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming in and doing a podcast. And for the listeners, I would appreciate it if you would just tell one other person, a neighbor, ideally a neighbor who doesn't live or who's not here right now, so they can get brought up to date on what's going on. Anybody can listen to these podcasts, so if you know someone that you think would like living here, please tell them about it, and we'll give them an insight to what's going on around here. And so until next time, thank you for your attention. Bye-bye.